Welcome to the PR Moment podcast. Produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
Welcome to the latest PR Moment podcast. This week, I'm talking to ex-Golin CEO, John Hughes. These days, John describes himself as senior advisor, specializing in technology and corporate communications. John's been looking at how technology is likely to change the shape of PR and communications businesses over the medium term, and today he's giving us an insight into those ideas. Thanks, as ever, to our PR podcast sponsors, the PRCA. Before we start, just an advert from Propel. Propel is a PR software built by PR pros for PR pros to help make your life easier and save you time. Propel helps you discover the right targets, pitch directly through Gmail or Outlook, monitor online and broadcast coverage, and analyze ROI and performance. Propel offer a flexible contract, and PR Moment readers get a special discount of 20% off the first month. You can find the link for this reader offer in the show notes and on prmoment.com. John, your second appearance on the podcast. Welcome. Nice to have you back. What have you been up to since you left Golin?
Obviously, you know, a bit of lockdown like everybody else in the country, and I've been learning that I should never have pursued a career in teaching. With three kids, I am the worst home tutor, I think, out there. So I'm glad I didn't ever scratch that itch, because as my kids will tell you, they're very glad to be back at school. But also just, you know, having that time off, and again, you know, with COVID and what have you, it's just been quite a chance to actually decompress and just reflect, because, you know, when you're in our business, everything is so input driven. Like, you react constantly to, you know, a new client request or a new issue or a thing, and then when that's kind of removed and you have time to actually read those articles you put into that folder in your email that said, I really should read this at some stage, yeah, it's great to be able to do that. So that's kind of what I've been doing, really.
And when did you leave Golin? I can't quite recall. Time goes by, doesn't it? It was definitely last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, the end of last year was when we announced, and then I officially left in July this year.
Right. So you're available to hire.
Always.
So come on, tell me why you think PR firms are a bit behind in their use of technology.
Well, I mean, again, let's bring it up to date in terms of where we are. I mean, you know, we're doing this podcast via Zoom, and everyone knows that their life has turned into, you know, a Zoom life. And COVID has certainly made organizations look at their technology and adopted and transformed the way they've worked faster than ever before. I think it was McKinsey who came out with a stat that we have gone through 5 years of a technological adoption, or the rate of technological adoption, in about 8 weeks, which is incredible. And the obvious things like that are the Zoom calls, the collaboration software, and so on and so forth. But beyond that, we've kind of got a bit of a hunger for speed now, because we can work a lot more quickly, a lot more efficiently, without having to jump on planes and so on and so forth. And technology has now entered into all parts of our lives in places that it may not have done before. And I don't just mean as working professionals. I mean, you know, every day, you know, I look at my parents-in-law, what they're doing online and what they're ordering. And all that is generating data. All that is leaving a trail. All that is analyzable. And so that, I think, is the big opportunity here. There's been an explosion through this pandemic of data which is now available for analysis and so on and so forth. Whether you believe that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's another podcast in and of itself, I'm sure. But it's out there now. Every single kind of digital breadcrumb is out there for analysis. And on from the comms and PR side, you know, comms has really risen to the challenge, I think, especially corporate comms, you know, risen to the challenge of handling this pandemic. And that's been great for our industry. So I think there are two things here. One is, you know, corporate comms having potentially having a bigger seat at the table. Secondly, you know, there is a lot more data out there, a lot more technology or technological fluency than perhaps there was before. And I think those two things are, will be an interesting to see how they come together.
And do you, I mean, it's a hard time to sort of, as you alluded to, they have this sort of debate, but I think in many ways, PR leaders everywhere are sort of patting themselves on the back because they've embraced the change in technology so quickly over, and it has allowed PR agencies and businesses more widely to function, that adoption of Google Drive and Zoom and all those sort of suite of technologies that we've come to love so much. But what you're sort of getting at, isn't it, there's a layer beyond that. So you're sort of saying that's all fine, but yeah. There's these data flows behind that, I don't know, are you saying that the marketing sector isn't understanding them enough?
No, not at all.
Martech has had a tough few years. I mean, you can sort of follow adverts around the web, can't you? So I wonder if anyone's getting this right or just PR's getting this wrong or is it all just work in progress?
Look, I think out of the two, the marketing side is way, way ahead of the PR side in terms of, how it's using marketing technology, how it's automating stuff. I mean, just look at, the media buying revolution that's happened with the exchanges and so on and so forth. I mean, that is just streets ahead. And I think, yes, whilst we can all pat on our back and say, well, haven't we done well? We managed to use Microsoft Teams, which in most cases, a lot of agencies have had for a long time, and trying to get people to ever use the damn thing was almost impossible. But suddenly, everyone's on Teams, everyone's on Zoom or whatever it is. But that's just very superficial. I think what this is showing now is there is an appetite for the use of technology and perhaps barriers that may have existed on the client side or on the agency side may be lower now than they were before. And I think that kind of is the key.
But I'm interested in the it's all about the, I get the theory. I mean, it's hard to disagree with your theory. I'm just wondering what sort of applications you see this technology.
Yeah, well.
Because you've got loads of data flows, haven't we, all over the place, but it's about understanding them and utilising them and automating them, is it? I know I'm asking you for the impossible, really, because it hasn't quite happened yet, but I'm just intrigued to what sort of stuff you're thinking about.
Well, I think you need to kind of take a step back. I mean, there is no one piece of technology. So let's not use technology in the biggest sense. One of the things that I've kind of been looking at over the past few weeks is a lot of the reports coming out from different analyst houses around, marketing and CMO concerns, as well as kind of commentary in the obvious press around, what it is they want. What do they think the focus is moving forward? Because before February, it's kind of, all bets are off. Post-February, kind of different scenario. And if you were to boil it down, there are two big buckets. And this then helps to see where the technology could come in. The two big buckets are around integration and agility. I'll take agility first. As you can imagine, in an unpredictable environment, having the ability to be nimble is uppermost. And I'm talking about campaign planning. I'm talking about responsiveness to issues or analysis or customer concerns. And, part of this, you've seen a growing trend of in-housing because there's a feeling amongst some clients that their agency partners across multiple disciplines maybe can't act fast enough. So they better do it themselves in-house. There's also that idea of agility to switch quickly between activities. Things aren't working. I no longer can do this. I'm going to switch it here, or I'm better putting my resource into this channel versus that channel. All that agility. And aside from that, agency side, there will be agility on, contractual terms and projects because people don't want to, take on big on contracts anymore. So there's a huge bucket there around kind of agility. And the second bucket is around, integration. And there are two parts to that. From the CMO's kind of point of view, they are getting or increasing voice in their companies. So, there are they're integrating now with employee comms in order to make sure the external aligns with the internal. Some of their roles are being transformed into chief revenue officer or growth roles or all these kind of things. So there's that side of integration. But there's also the automation side. And by that, I mean, you know, where we started talking about marketing technology. And they have, you know, a lot of the larger brands have spent a lot of money on multi-year contracts for big CRM systems and content management systems that they need to get more out of. And they're putting their own stuff through it. They're putting their paid stuff through it. But at the moment, they're not really doing anything with earned, which is obviously where the comms industry stands. And I think that is a huge opportunity because these investments were big. I think it's Gartner said something along the lines of 26% of marketing budgets are spent now on MarTech.
Wow.
That is a lot of money, and they're not, it's not going to go away. And on the flip side of that, and without, you know, becoming too much of a stato, I think it was something like 58% of the marketing stack is left unused. So they're spending a lot of money on it. They're not really using it optimally necessarily. And I'm talking about it in the round. And then you've got this one piece to the side earned, which is kind of a bit of an island in itself. And so as we get back to normal and as people look to do transformation projects and squeeze more, they're going to say, well, hold on a minute. This just doesn't make sense. These things need to come together. And I think that's kind of where the opportunity is.
And that's a question of that is currently how much of the functionality of the of that MarTech is useful for earned media, I guess. And that's a question, if I'm honest, I'm not quite sure the answer to. Do you know the answer to that?
Well, I think it's, again, you know, you've got to figure out what it is you're trying to achieve. So, for example, you know, there are very easy to send out emails to influencers, to contacts, to track those, to send them to landing pages where you can monitor who's coming in and analyze that stuff, to automatically trigger emails and events based on certain things. All that is possible. And if you think about what 90% of we do in an agency by and large, it is often email-based, sending emails back and forth. And those automation systems can handle that perfectly well. There used to be, you know, a while back, if you didn't send a journalist, you know, your pitch in, you know, straight raw text in an email, if you had anything fancy like images or HTML, they just kind of reject it because they just didn't want that. But that's all gone. And 5G is just going to make that so much easier. People are used to clicking to a link, going, watching video, all that kind of stuff. And that's what those systems are designed to handle. So why wouldn't you? So it's not a matter of sitting out there saying, well, that's just no way it's going to work for me. It does. You've got to figure out how to make it work. So there's that part. But then there's just the whole analysis side of things. So step outside from those automation things. I'm talking about, you know, AI, deep learning, you know, customer insight stuff. You know, there is so much technology out there that can do so much that even I'm like, that, you know, my eyes have been totally widened over these past few months just to see what is actually possible. And that then comes to the agility piece, because now we have a real hunger for speed. You know, what used to take a year is done in a month. What used to take a month is done in a week. What used to take a week in a day, and so on and so forth. And so using, you know, all those tools, you can analyze massive amounts of data to try and get to that insight or to understand your customer. And I think this is where there is a growing rift between clients and brands and some agencies, where the clients feel that agencies are no longer keeping pace with them, that they have more information about their customers or their environment than perhaps the agencies do, which, and I don't know if you saw the Influence 100 research that came out, and that's kind of in-house influencers, you know, CMOs, CCOs, so on and so forth. They were asked, what did they see as the greatest benefit of an agency? And I think it was 49%, certainly around half, I'm pretty sure it was 49%, said execution, tactical execution. I think it was something like 26% only said strategy, and 19% said creative. So that would indicate that, you know, there is a lot more strategy, creative work being done by the brands themselves, and execution just being led out to, you know, to their partners, which is, you know, which is something agencies and others will have to adapt to.
But your other point there is that you can, you know, the agency can automate that, and then presumably the in-house team can as well.
Yeah, I think you've got to relook at what you do as an agency. So there's no point just trying to automate what you did in the offline world. It's kind of, okay, so within this environment now, where do I add the value to a particular brand? And so that might be around, you know, being able to get and analyze areas and topics and discussions, you know, more quickly, more rapidly than we could do before. I mean, there's so much natural language processing stuff now that can take esoteric ideas around, you know, trust or quality. You know, they're not just, you know, a Google search with quality in quotes and you get a load of bunch about it. There's all sorts of stuff you can do here. And again, you know, so maybe, you know, you're going to focus on, right, we are going to be able to generate insights quicker, faster, deeper, better, richer, and do it in real time, not just once, you know, we did this 6 months ago and here's our plan, but see where these new organic topics and these new organic discussions are happening. And in which case, you kind of gear yourself slightly differently. Yeah. I think if you want to just be an execution partner, which could be a strategy, then by all means, go get yourself some really streamlined, you know, execution workflow software, you know, so you can ditch all those Excel spreadsheets that agencies have.
But we're not saying there's anything wrong with the execution, are we?
It's just, no, I'm not at all.
We're just saying that's not necessarily, well, that's not probably not what the only thing you want to be doing.
I'm just saying, I think you've got to kind of figure out where, you know, where you want to play or how you want to support a client in this kind of changing space. Now, if it's an execution, you want to be an absolutely awesome, super efficient execution agency that within a touch of a button can reach all the right people. Have at it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that there is a bit of a mismatch if we're not careful with, you know, agencies saying, oh, we want to do all this creative strategic work, and one in every two CMOs and CCOs saying, well, really, the greatest benefit for me to an agency is arms and legs. So how are you going to balance that? And technology, I think, can help you do that.
I just wonder, is it, how much has that has changed, do you think? I mean, I just if you went back 10 years and asked a comms director why they have an agency, it's probably a different answer depending on the type of agency you're talking about, isn't it? If you're talking about a corporate agency, you get one answer. Public affairs, clearly you get another answer. If you're talking about a consumer agency, it would always have been the answer that you want arms and legs, wouldn't it?
Of course. And there is always the, you know, the caveat here that, you know, I'm talking in the round, right? I'm talking agency in general. And, you know, part of the danger is that you can quite easily say, well, it's, you know, doesn't apply to me and doesn't apply to my agency. I'm not sure that is true. Because it's coming and it's happening whether you're at the smaller end of the market working with, you know, smaller clients or at the larger end of the market, larger clients. To answer your question, just going back, and I thought about this, and I used to have clients, you know, it's probably more than 10 years ago, that used to call on you. And one of the reasons they would work with an agency was to give them their outside analysis, was to give them something that they didn't already know. That has changed. I think by and large, a lot of clients know more about their customers than the actual agencies do. I mean, Unilever has spent hundreds of millions, if not billions, building up detailed profiles of all its customers because it never had that direct relationship. Now it does. All that information is available directly to be analyzed by clients, and they're very, very good at this. So,
if I was a client and I didn't know more about my customers than the agency, I'd be very worried, frankly. But yeah, isn't the point that the agency would hopefully know more about whatever they're experts in? So let's say the media, let's say influencers, let's say politicians. Is that less true than it was? I'm just intrigued.
No, I don't think that is necessarily less true. I think certainly those barriers that pre-existed, you know, that, oh, only I knew this particular journalist, because that was quite a closed world. And this is obviously how the likes of Gorkhana and other kind of, you pay your license because you couldn't really get access to these people because, you know, their phone numbers weren't really of record and so on and so forth. And only I knew X, Y, Z. That's obviously just been blown apart. You know, every journalist, every influencer is out there advertising themselves left, right, and center. So that's not it. It's more about the speed and analysis, because this stuff is changing all the time. You know, it's not the case anymore that this particular journalist is going to cover this beat forever and be the only influential person in this trade publication. That the world around that on a particular issue, a particular topic, a particular politician or whatever, is constantly changing. And so having that ability to act with speed is what's required. And you can only do that if you are analyzing hundreds and thousands of pieces of bits of information and then sorting it. I mean, that's the point. I mean, just because it's out there doesn't necessarily mean it's good, but you've got to be able to sort and prioritize. And I think, you know, we can get a little bit sniffy and say, well, that's, you know, it's not really what we do. But, you know, their financial organizations, banks, hedge funds have massively complicated quant engines that are not just taking mathematical algorithms, and if a share price does this, I'll do this. They are analyzing all sorts of unstructured data, official press release that comes from target companies they're interested in. They are analyzing the words in there, and they are making buy and sell decisions worth millions based on what is, or partly based on what these kind of unstructured bits of data are saying. So this is happening everywhere, and it's gonna come to our world.
So just before we go on to PR tech then, I'm just trying to summarize your thoughts on, I suppose, challenges to PR sectors. The first one is they need to bear in mind the speed of the world currently and therefore be super agile. Think about how they use MarTech technology, MarCom's technology, and how they integrate that. And then there's that balance of relationship with the client, is there, in terms of what the client wants, what the skills the client has, and that changing dynamic between the agency and the client. Is that the sort of three areas, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think first thing, you know, whether you're in-house or whether at the agency side, you know, don't bury your head in the sand here. This is coming. You know, whether on the client side, you know, suddenly there's going to be, you know, another transformation project kicked off, or the CMO says, hold on a minute, why are we not having this integrated? Why can't I have a single view of all my customer communications, whether I'm paying for it, whether it's on my own channels, or whether it's going through influencers or through the media? I want a single view. That is not an unreasonable position for a CMO to have, or for the CEO to ask for. And so in order to affect that, you're going to have to bring the earned world into the MarTech world. So that would happen on the brand side. On the agency side, you know, again, if you want to provide real insight and service to your clients, then you've got to look at how this technology can be used to do that. Whether it's doing, you know, deep dives and constant analysis to work out what the issues are and who the key influencers around an issue are and so on and so forth. Whether it is you know, more tactical execution and making that as streamlined and as efficient and as nimble as possible, whether it's in the, you know, the econometrics end of the scale and, you know, looking at and the analysis and those kind of things, all those things, you know, you need to look at. And I think that is, you know, that's kind of what I'm saying. You've got to look at all those pieces.
Sure. Now, come on, let's talk about PR tech, shall we? Because it's one of those areas that, well, there's been some money spent, hasn't there? The likes of this huge number of acquisitions by likes of, well, certainly Cision, I think they've led the way, so to speak, on that. But Meltwater and Kantar have also been proactive over the years. And then on the other side, so you've got the established type players, and you've got a whole bunch of startups as well.
Yeah.
And as you sort of alluded to in your previous chat, there's a sort of that integrated one-stop shop solution that in terms of a way to go, and then you've got various different point solutions and all the rest of it. But go on, having looked at this sort of stuff over the last 6 months, I'm not suggesting it's possible to come to a conclusion on it, but how do you see that PR tech market developing?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, so there are around about 1,000 different MarTech solutions. There's a big chart which has got them all squeezed in very small logos on, and they're kind of divided into the different sectors and so on and so forth. Of about those 8,000, less than 1% are specifically listed for public relations, because you know, public relations is one of the call out buckets. So less than 1%, and within there, as you say, you've got the big giants, and Cision, as you said, spent $1 billion. It was buying, you know, Gorkana, Newswire, and Trendkite, which I think, as you know, they're trying to offload again right now. But you know, these guys are trying to get bigger and bigger. But again, what they're really doing, it's quite difficult to do with such a legacy infrastructure. And that's why you see some of the new startups coming out. They're doing some really cool stuff. You know, like the guys at NewsWhip, for example, you know, doing a lot around prediction. And I think that's another area of technology that we should look at, because that has always been public relations' Achilles heel. You know, with advertising, it was relatively easy to say, if I put this billboard outside this train station, I'll get X number of eyeballs that will walk past it. From that, 1% will do this, and you know, blah 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 blah. You know, it's very difficult for us, and there's no, you know, clear economic link in that same way. But now, with, again, as I, to come back to where we started, with all this digital footprint stuff being generated constantly, now it's much easier to look forward and predict where people may go, where they might read, what they might do, and so on and so forth. So I think predictive technology built into this is quite interesting. So that's kind of what, you know, NewsWhip, as I think is you know, doing rather making a good fist of it on. Then I think you've kind of, aside from that, you've got other areas of, you know, aside from just the big behemoth, you know, integrated players that tell you who to contact, you know, how to contact them and so on and so forth. You've got some other interesting players around, like I say, content analysis, using natural language processing to spot topics. I think, you know, a greater, there's a lot of money being spent on, you know, visualizing a lot of this data, visualizing the connections between influencers and how this all comes about, so you can figure out where you might need to have a conversation or to affect all that. You can only do that if you've got quite modern, nimble infrastructure underneath that, so all that deep learning stuff. So I think, you know, aside from, like you said, aside from the big boys who just seem to be interested in just getting bigger, it's a very, very fragmented market. And beyond the little walled garden that is the PR side of MarTech, which is about 1%, there's a massive explosion in marketing technology. Some of that can be used for comms purposes, no question. There's a lot of influencer stuff which is in that outside zone, a lots of, like I say, analysis tools and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, when you do look at, you know, creating your stack, don't just look in the obvious PR world. Go beyond that, because I think that's, there's a lot more out there. And a lot of this is can be free or, you know, easily used. And they're not all requiring, you know, $50,000 worth of license fees.
But there's some interesting decision you've got to make, are there? Because to connect the two conversations, there's a good idea. The integration between your MarTech and your PR tech is got to be a good idea, isn't it? So the more you can integrate those two elements of software, that's got to help you when it comes to the agility and therefore the integration of it. But then the other bit of it is, and you know, I delve into this debate every now and again. I don't want to pretend to be the world's leading on it, but you, in essence, if you have one provider for this stuff, the hope is, assuming that provider works, that you have one data source that you can then look at and use and amplify and interrogate. If you have lots of different point solutions, the worry is that your data sets become then very difficult to compare. But what I think we're sort of saying is that I think what you're suggesting is that that's okay, is it, to have different data sets?
Yeah, let me challenge the first part. I think what I'm saying is that when it comes to delivery and you know, tracking and getting results, there is no reason, by and large, why, you know, the majority of communications coming from the earned side can't go through, you know, something like, you know, a Marketo or a HubSpot. That's it. Now, aside from that, you know, there are different pieces of technology that you use for different things, different from the advertising side and different on the PR side. So the coming together is that distribution point. Because once you distribute and automate that, you can monitor it in one single place. So from the, you know, the agency side, you've got to figure out, well, how do I connect with a HubSpot or a Marketo or whatever it may be? And also, how do I understand how things are measured in that environment so I know what my metrics are? So there's that side. Aside from that, then it's about figuring out, well, okay, what is it that I'm interested in doing right now? Because, you know, it's strategy first, technology second. So what is my strategy? Right, I need to be able to, you know, track this particular issue, or I need to monitor these particular trends, or whatever your strategy calls for. And that's when you then have your kind of point solutions. And, you know, you build those together into a stack and you kind of label them. And you shouldn't be afraid to, if things change, because this technology is going to rapidly evolve. You shouldn't be afraid to say, you know what, that influencer mapping tool we had, that's not as good as it was before. I'm going to switch that and put something else in, or I'm going to try this and experiment with it. That's kind of what the stack does. And if you look at on the marketing side, that's precisely what they do. There's no one big, you know, software vendor that does it all. They do parts of it really well. And then they supplement with lots of cool point solutions like I mentioned. So that's really that kind of how it works. And you're seeing, and you saw the announcement from Edelman this week, or yesterday it was actually, I think, you know, they've launched this comms tech solution, which is, you know, a PR stack just branded for different things. They're saying we do these four areas, and behind the scenes, they branded each one of them. Behind the scenes, I suspect there is, you know, a stack of different tools that they will switch and change as they do. You know, same with Bold Space, who launched a couple of weeks ago. They've got this thing called Bold Lens, which again is, you know, looks very impressive. It's all about predictive analysis and stuff like that, which is great. But again, behind that, I suspect there are lots of different tools, and as those tools evolve, they'll change and so on and so forth. So yeah. This isn't a kind of, right, I need to go out and speak to Microsoft or Salesforce or Cision or Meltwater or Trendkite or Talkwalker, whoever it may be. You've got to figure out what's my strategy, whether I'm on the client side or the agency side, and how might I build a stack to really automate and integrate everything that I'm doing.
Right. And what you're sort of suggesting is, and we've seen that with a few examples you raised there, is that each agency, or indeed in-house team for that matter, will probably have their own stack of tools that they find useful and work for them, in essence. Yeah. And those, the life being life, those tools might have a hot period and then go cold again. And at that point, you might need to change.
And each agency will probably brand them in some way. But that doesn't really matter. It's kind of what's the benefit, what's the value they're delivering to the clients. If they've got this thing called, you know, we at Agency X have this thing called the Insight Engine, you know, and it delivers insight, you know, in nanoseconds and whatever. Great. And that's probably what the client is buying. I've never in my career had a client come to me and say, we want to use an agency because you use Cision or because you use Talkwalker. They're not interested. It's what you do with the tools, because everyone can buy the tools.
Yeah,
that's not it. You know, just because you've got tool A, another competitor will have tool A. It's what you do with the data that comes out, how you bring it all together, how you cross-reference it, and how you make it work together. That is the magic. That is the opportunity. That is the value.
Did you ever try, I'm sure you won't have done personally, but did you ever try and build an IP agency tool, if you see what I mean? There are a few of those over the years. I think happily people have started to just buy in the tools now as opposed to try and develop their own. But I just wondered if that's something you guys ever attempted.
No, not really. I mean, the fact of the matter is that agencies are usually pretty awful at developing technology. I mean, you know, whether it's just launch, you know, thank God no one does intranets anymore, because they were the worst things. Like, they'd spend tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands, creating these things that then would never get used and along came Workspace and other things. So agencies are two things. A, they're notoriously bad at creating their own technology, really. B, they don't usually like kind of buying the technology in many cases. So I think, that's quite a difficult thing. And I think there's a whole cutting room floor, I imagine, of projects that were launched to great fanfare, then quietly, taken outside and clubbed to death and never seen the light of day. This is, I think, more about the general market and how, clients can use these technologies, corporates can use these technologies, and agencies will need to keep up with it. But I think them trying to outpace the market development and become experts in deep learning and AI, I mean, really? No, I don't think so. So,
And that's how do you see this space developing then? I mean, what you're sort of saying is that agencies need to get on with it quickly, right? This is not a problem for a year's time. You need to be developing your stack now, depending on, and that stack will obviously depend on what type of agency you are and what your clients want.
Well, I think, a couple of things probably, what I would say is start exploring this stuff sooner rather than later. Yes, COVID has really raised the profile, as I said at the beginning, of especially corporate comms and employee engagement, I would imagine. And they've risen to the challenge and they've been seen perhaps in lights that perhaps they may not have been seen before. At the same time, all the businesses, as we know, are under huge economic strain. And when you're under huge economic strain, you're going to want to squeeze more out of what you have. And usually technology is an enabler to do that. And we've seen, so many times after a downturn, a recession, there's new technology that comes in order to do this. So that those pressures are going to cause, technological advancement. And as I mentioned, especially from the CMO, as they get a bigger remit and they want to take a more holistic view of their customer, and they're saying, hold on a minute, why isn't this thing connected to this thing? That doesn't make sense. They're going to start to drive that. So that change will come. Whether that comes in 6 months or 18 months, I don't really know. But it's going to come, right? Because it's fairly obvious. So first thing, start playing with this stuff. Secondly, if you're an agency and you are creating content, as most of them are, start figuring out how you could connect that to HubSpot or to Pardo or Marketo or Salesforce. Start doing that now, because that could be quite a useful sales pitch for you. Yeah, we can create this software for you. And just so you know, should you need it, it's already, Marketo enabled or whatever. Start doing that. But don't just start doing this for the sake of some technology. Figure out what your strategy is, and whether it's a strategy on the client side in terms of what it is you're trying to understand and do, or whether it's a strategy on the agency side in terms of what's the value you want to offer to your client, that will then tell you where you kind of need to go, and maybe in the execution side, like we said, or it might be in the strategy side, or it might be in the creative side. And that creative side is an interesting space as well, because again, but it's, as I mentioned right at the beginning, we have so much information now on what works, when it works, how it works, the format, and so on and so forth. The clients realistically can start to dictate and have all the data to back up the frame around which they want a creative agency to work. I'm looking for this piece of content. It needs to achieve these things. It needs to be video based, needs to be X, needs to Y, da 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 da. Come up with a really culturally cool idea within that frame. And all good art, all good, creative does require a frame. So I think that's an interesting side too. So, to come back to it, think about the strategy first, then the technology second. Start finding how you can look at being more agile in your offering. So how can we get to insights faster, quicker, sharper? How we can be more integrated and automated? How might I connect this to a client's already existing content management system or whatever it may be? You don't have to do this overnight, but I think you've got to start looking at this right now, because clients are going to ask for it and CMOs are going to ask for it.
John Hughes, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No worries, good to be back.
If you've enjoyed this interview, John will be talking at a new event that we're putting on called Your PR Tech Stack on November the 26th. Tickets are £30 plus VAT, and all the details are on the homepage of PRMoment.com.
Thanks for listening to the PR Moment podcast, produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
If you'd enjoyed the show, please do review us on iTunes and give us a decent rating.